You are listening to the Jungian Podcast, presented by Columbia Media Group. Today's episode is sponsored by Suberizer, your complete onion storage. They can be contacted at Suberizer.com. That's Suberizer with a Z. On today's episode, we rejoin Dave as he continues around the trade floor of the Pacific Northwest Vegetable Association Conference. On part two, we hear from Peter Bierma with SimAgro, Mark Marshburn with SeedWave, and Kathleen Beach with the Washington State Department of Natural Resources. Be sure to catch part one if you haven't.
Right now, we are at the SimAgro booth. SimAgro is a manufacturer and distributor of nutrients and crop inputs kind of thing. And we're with Peter Bierma. Peter, tell us a little bit about what SimAgro does and who you guys are.
So SimAgro started about 5 years ago, and we focused predominantly on biologicals, organic fungicides, insecticides, and kind of looking at the more IPM sort of products.
Okay, so the biological side of things has been, because it's kind of an untouched, or why that direction? It doesn't seem like there's a lot of people going that way and marketing that and really going hard for it.
Well, with biologicals and essential oils, one of the big issues right now is there's a lot of resistance. A lot of fungicides, insecticides have been used for the last couple of years, and there's not a lot of new ones coming. So the biologicals, while they may not always give 100% control, they're great for resistance management and breaking up cycles of disease control that that are having some issues right now.
Okay, so that's fantastic, because that is a problem that we're facing with a lot of chemistries right now is disease resistance. So for onions, you have Instill, which is a bactericide and fungicide for onions, but it's OMRI pending, so it's not quite available for organics, is that correct?
It's been submitted to OMRI, should have it before the next growing season.
Okay, so why Instill? Tell us about Instill. It's a new product, right?
Instill's new to agriculture. It's got a 30-year history in the greenhouse market as a systemic copper fungicide. It's a copper pentahydrate. And unlike other coppers, most of your low-dose coppers lay on the surface of the plant, and every time they're re-wet, they give you fungicidal, bactericidal activity. With Instill, it's formulated to absorb in the plant within 3 hours of application, and then it mobilizes in the plant, so you're getting systemic activity out of a copper. And that's kind of a real novel thing with copper, because most people don't view copper as being a systemic fungicide.
Okay, what is systemic? What does that mean?
It means that it moves in the phloem and the xylem safely. It's a loosely bound oxygen on the copper, because if you put copper ions inside a plant and it wasn't chelated correctly, it would actually hurt the plant. But with this, it's been safened in a double chelation process, so it can mobilize and transfer inside the plant and give you disease control. It also has a mordant effect, which it's kind of like when you dye a cloth, it gets the color to associate to the cloth. Well, with this, it draws the disease to the copper ions inside the plant. So you're getting some mordant or pull-to activity from the copper on disease.
So the bottom line is more effective.
More effective, same effective efficacy on the outside of the plant, but you're getting a systemic component. And we feel that this is going to have some benefits into some root diseases, where copper, usually you can't get to the root system. The other thing is it's a low-dose copper. It's 20 ounces per acre, so you're going to reduce your copper loading, which will help maintain better soil biology.
And when do you apply? Do you go on a planting, or when does it happen?
It'd be foliar treatments. It kind of depends on what diseases you're targeting. If it's neck rot or if it's bacteria rot, then it would be probably 4 weeks before harvest or when necks start to die down to try and protect the inside of that bulb.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell people to go and check out sym-agro.com. That's simagro.com. You'll find other products that they carry as well, including Cinerate and another one, Employ, that they've been marketing for potatoes. Anything else that growers would find particularly advantageous in your line?
You know, employee is one that consistently gives about a, so employee is a plant defense activator. It triggers a plant to turn on its own defense mechanisms. And what we've seen is that you get about a 10 to 12% increase in yield. It increases cell division early. And then it's also very effective on turning on nematode resistance in plants. We see anywhere from 70 to 80% reduction in nematodes.
Wow.
And so as a contrast to a soil-applied nematicide, which controls them in the soil, this is actually having the plant turn off nematodes, making it harder for them to reproduce.
And this is a biological as well?
Yes, this is a biochemical.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Thank you for taking the time, Peter. And we hope you have a great show.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dave.
Mark Marshburn here. Used to be with Champion Seed Company, and now it's Seedway LLC. Seedway is based out of New York, right, Mark?
Correct. Hall, New York.
Hall, New York. And you guys are still in the Boise area.
Correct. We're in Nampa, Idaho.
Nampa, Idaho. So how did the acquisition come about?
I'm pretty good friends with the CEO of Seedway, and at last year's ASTA, he stopped me and said, we need to talk. And he inquired about the possibility of acquiring Champion Seed. And about 3 to 4 months after that, we entered into negotiations. And here we are today.
Wow, bang, bang, and there it happened. So you and your current staff are still entrenched in Nampa for the time being anyway. And I'm assuming business as usual for now.
Correct. Business as usual. All of our employees, minus one, which was 31 employees, all came to Seedway. Everyone has the same position at Seedway that they used to have with Champion Seed. And it is definitely business as usual for right now.
So if I, I'm a grower and somebody comes knocking on my door, and it's going to be a face I recognize, but maybe a different business card, and that's about it for now.
Correct.
Okay. So what's the new URL website for Seedway?
Seedway.com.
That's an easy one. So maybe in the future we can get some more updates as things go along. But for now, I want to thank Mark Marshburn with Seedway for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
At the Washington State Department of Natural Resources, and we are talking with Kathleen Beach about interesting program they have on leasing farm lots. Is that right, Kathleen?
Yeah. So want me to just tell you a little bit about what we do?
Please.
So at statehood, all the western states were deeded land to fund institutions like schools. And Washington State is a state that kept a lot of that that original grant. So we have over 1 million acres that we manage mostly to fund kindergarten through 12th grade school construction. And then across eastern Washington, our mandate is to manage land sustainably and put the land to its highest and best use.
Okay, so let's talk about how a grower that might be interested in acquiring this land, number one, goes about it and the costs involved. You've got some land that's suitable for onion growers as well as potato growers.
That's right. So it used to be hard for people to find out about leases being available. Our mandate in the law is that there'd be an advertisement in a newspaper in the legal section on the fourth Thursday.
If you were lucky to see it, then you knew about it.
Exactly. And so we have a new mapping tool we're showing here. We've got two different ways I'm helping people find out about lands being available. We've got a mapping tool we're showing here, we call the Lease Opportunity Viewer. And that allows us to show people the locations of land and if there's a diamond on our map that shows there's an upcoming opportunity. And then we also have a list that we send out periodic emails for lands offered at public auction.
Okay. So public auction is still leasing,
true,
though. It's a lease auction.
Yes.
And pretty much the people that win the lease can do whatever they want above ground, or is it mandated?
Yeah,
how does that work?
Yep. So so again, you know, back to our mandate for highest and best use, we look at the land and we determine what is the best, most sustainable revenue generating use of the land. So typically for the irrigated row crop leases we're offering here today, we look at, we will allow a range of crops to be grown with certain crops in rotation. So we would have potatoes, say for example, potatoes or onions, for example, one in 3 years, whatever we determine will be a sustainable for soils. And then our leases are triple net in that the lessee is responsible for all taxes, seed, expenses, and all that. And the state is providing the land and the water. And what they're bidding on is a 10-year term. So it's you're bidding on the rights to hold that land and farm it for 10 years.
Now, obviously, the people that are doing that are going to be making improvements to the land, possibly some above-ground structures or sheds or that kind of thing. Do they get an opportunity to bid the next time, how does that work?
Yeah, so we have two different scenarios. The public auction one is easy to explain. The other one is harder to explain, but it's set in law. So I hope I can do it clearly. So for public auction, first off, with leasehold improvements, if it's center pivots, things like that are above ground, those are the deal at the end of the 10-year term is the follow-on lessee, if they outbid the existing lessee, will either purchase it from the existing lessee or provide it themselves. So the pivots would move if a new lessee came on or the follow-on lessee could purchase them. We don't have a lot of things like buildings, fixed improvements, but if we do have fixed improvements attached to the land that belong to a lessee, the follow-on lessee would be required to purchase those from that prior lessee.
At market value whatever.
Yeah, we determine what the market value is. So for public auction, it's open, anyone can bid, and typically the successful bidder would be the party who makes the highest bonus bid, which is a one-time payment in addition to rent. So that's our easier to explain process. Our other process that we do more for, not so much for the irrigated row crop leases, but for some of the other leases or leases that have limiting factors, is a re-lease renegotiation route. And for those, they show on our mapping tool as open for lease application. And for those, the existing lessee has a first right of refusal in that they can match a bid. So another party can make a bonus bid, say, hey, I'm interested in that lease, I'm willing to pay, you know, some dollar amount in addition to rent, but the existing lessee would have the ability to match that bid. If the existing lessee matches the bid, negotiations continue with them. And if they don't, we go to public auction.
Okay, so there's a way to get my investment back if I'm going to be doing this. So let's cut to the quick. Why should we? I mean, are the auction prices good? I mean, is this a money-making proposition
for lessees or growers? Yeah. So, our lands are where they are, and they are leased land often fits into people's business models to know that you have that land for that 10-year term. It may be that it's farmed in conjunction with other lands around it. Our rents are a fair market value rent, so we do charge a rent that we believe matches what is the going rate for leases with those same attributes, water, soil type, productive capability,
market conditions,
exactly. And so it's just another piece of ground that works for some people to pick up in addition to their privately held land.
Okay, so last question. How do I find you? What's your website?
www.dnr.wa.gov/agriculture is our website. And you can look for the DNR Lease Opportunity Viewer for the mapping tool. And people can contact me, Kathleen Beach, at Department of Natural Resources. My number is 509-925-0912, and I'm happy to provide more information.
Okay, and like all government type of URLs, they're all very complicated, so we will put the link for you.
Perfect.
Next on to this podcast. Kathleen, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for stopping by.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only, and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests. They do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of Columbia Media Group or its affiliates.